This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. And today we are very much focused on Hertfordshire. 2025 was a year of highs and lows for nature in our county. There were more water voles introduced, an existing population spread, butterflies relished the hot summer, and the flowers that we grew for them, and birds like ravens and red kites continued their spread. But the overall scene is still one of decline, with one-fifth of the county's species at risk of extinction and 76 species lost entirely since 1970. So the challenge is therefore how to turn small wins into an overall trend, how to bring nature back to our nature-depleted county. And 2026 could be the start of that turnaround with the publishing of the Hertfordshire Local Nature Recovery Strategy. So how will it make a difference? Let's hear from Councillor Paul Zukowski, Cabinet Member for Environment, Transport and Growth in Hertfordshire County Council and the Chair of the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership. Councillor Zukowski, thank you so much for taking the time to join me on Environment Matters today. And first of all, congratulations, because the Local Nature Recovery Strategy is a huge document and it's taken a lot of work to put it all together. So can you just start by reminding us exactly how it was created? It wasn't just a couple of technocrats sitting there at County Hall, was it? This was quite a big process.
No, absolutely not. I mean, the Local Nature Recovery Strategy started a number of years ago now as part of a government initiative to try and put together strategies covered many areas across the country to try and address the issues around biodiversity loss and habitat loss that we've seen accelerating in the UK and particularly in England over the last decade or so. So the government were quite keen to try and address that, and they came up with this approach of producing a local nature recovery strategy. And what the strategy effectively does has allowed us to reach out to a range of different landowners and land managers to find out what the appetite is for enhancing biodiversity, enhancing nature on their land, and to identify areas where there are real opportunities to do exactly that and to put back some of the biodiversity and habitat loss that we've seen over the last few years. So it's a fantastic opportunity to do that.
Indeed, and you've also involved really expert organisations like, for instance, the Hearts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust as well, haven't you?
Absolutely, yeah. And they're absolutely critical to not only delivering the mapping, delivering an understanding of where, you know, nature may be best placed to recover, but also to looking to deliver that recovery going forward. So really, really critical, really crucial that we engage with as many organisations that hold land, be those businesses, be those government organisations, be those charities, whatever they are, if they own land that could be used for nature recovery, we were interested in talking to them. And we've managed to engage with a huge number across Hertfordshire.
Yes, indeed. And of course, this isn't the end of the process, is it? You're going to be continuing working with all these people to move the strategy into reality.
Absolutely, yeah. So the local nature recovery strategy, really, you could think of it as a nature baseline. So we know now across a huge swathe of Hertfordshire what habitats are where, what their condition is, whether they could be improved, whether they are, you know, beyond recovery or whatever. So we've got a baseline. And what that means is that if what we want to do is enhance nature in a particular area, we can actually quantify, we can actually measure how much progress has been made. And to try and deliver that change, we've organised and put together, in combination with those organisations that I was just mentioning, the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership. And it really is a partnership. It's not going to be led by the County Council, because I'm talking as a county councillor, but I know And everyone knows that government moves quite slowly and the wheels of government move quite slowly. And for a lot of things, that's a good thing. But if what we want to do is really bounce back in nature, then actually a commercially oriented organisation is perhaps a better mechanism to do that. And that's exactly what's happening with the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership. So we don't own the partnership. The partnership becomes its own organisation and will lead all the other organisations that form the partnership in the right direction. And one of those will be the County Council.
That does actually lead me to a question from Malcolm Hull from the Hearts and Butterfly Conservation. He wants to know, we know that there's going to be local government reorganisation, and he wonders if there was still a plan to separate a community interest company to oversee the local nature recovery strategy.
I think actually that's a live conversation within the partnership as to how best a community interest company, community interest partnership, what the mechanism, what the governance of that looks like and so on, to actually form this structure that underpins the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership and gives it a commercial-based mechanism. It's not clear at this stage whether a community interest company is precisely the right mechanism, but it's one of those in the mix and it's being actively worked on as we speak.
Now, let's go back to the process that happened just before the local nature recovery strategy was actually sort of finalised into its published form. And you had a consultation there where you asked us, the public, what we thought about the strategy. And one of the things that you asked us about was the species that we would like to see prioritised. Now, I just wondered if you could tell us what the winners were there, whether there was anything in particular that was our favourite, and how those species will be held.
So the decision as to what was on the long list of species that we want to see recover was driven, I think, in the main part by ecological experts looking at, you know, what habitats and what species inhabit those habitats across Hertfordshire and which had started to decline or even disappeared. But equally, what we wanted to do was identify key species that were almost iconic species for the general public, because we want the general public to be engaged in this whole process and to feel a ownership of the nature that we live in. So what we've done is we've dialed in with the priority species within particular habitats, ones where the public were particularly keen on seeing those recover. And a good example of that is the nightingale. So the nightingale's virtually extinct in Hertfordshire. I think there's one area that may still have nightingale populations. So we've largely lost nightingales from Hertfordshire, but it's one of the key species that people want to see us try and reintroduce into Hertfordshire. Now, whilst technically that's quite challenging to do, because, you know, once the species is gone from an area, getting it back into that area is quite a challenge. But it's such a key species that it resonates with people. So we're going to be putting effort into trying to bring that species back, because it's not just nightingales that benefit from the habitat changes that nightingales need. It's a whole raft of the other species on that list as well. So we've kind of taken that idea that it grabs the public's imagination if you talk about a particular species, and that will help bring people along in the process of trying to get those species re-established in Hertfordshire.
And I suppose one of the other things that's noticeable about the local nature recovery strategy is it's not just about nature, it is about people and practicalities for us too. For instance, there's things about connection with nature and about flooding as well. Why was it important to include those things too?
Well, I think I start in my answer to that by some of the real thinkers around nature and people and our interactions with that. Because it's pretty clear that if we don't have an engagement with nature as a population, are we going to value it? If you want everybody to value nature, we need that engagement. We need them to be able to experience nature. But The flip side of that coin, of course, is that too much public pressure on a particular habitat, especially if that habitat is particularly sensitive to that disturbance and so on, can be problematic. So there has to be a balance there. But getting people to engage in and value nature is really critical to acceptance of some of the changes that we might need. And I'll give you a particular example of where there is a real tension, and that's in chalk streams. So chalk streams are quite sensitive to public disturbance, particularly from our pets, particularly dogs. Dogs going into chalk streams can cause really significant ecological damage. But if we stop people letting their dogs go into streams and rivers, that can become a source of real tension in the community because they feel that that's something that they want to be able to do. So how do you balance that? Well, the answer is that some areas you need to give public access and other areas you need to restrict it. And we need to be working that through to make sure that people feel engaged with the process, understand that, and understand why, you know, if you're going to go and let your dog splash around in the river, you need to do it over here and not over here.
So just thinking about the difference that the local nature recovery strategy will make, as you said, it requires all of us to take action. It's not just, you know, it's not just the county council, it's not just landowners. And just thinking about the county council, again, I've got a question for Malcolm Hull. He wants to know whether it will lead to the county council stopping its use of glyphosate, which has been shown to harm wildlife and also humans as well.
Yeah, glyphosate's a challenging one because for certain applications, particularly in urban areas as a weed killer, it's extraordinarily effective, and the replacements for it are very much more expensive and not as effective, is my understanding. So the county council already has a policy that glyphosate use is extremely limited, and it's limited to try and minimise the impacts on things like insect life and so on that we want to see go forward. I'm not in a position to be able to say that we're going to stop glyphosate use, but I would certainly like it to disappear. And were it technically possible to do that, I think we would probably move in that direction, but we're not quite there yet, unfortunately. If I recall correctly, when I asked this question, the county council's use of glyphosate in the last decade has fallen by well in excess of 60%. So we really ramped down our use of that particular weed killer. But as I say, the problem comes with particular uses against particular invasive species in urban areas. It becomes problematic to say we're going to stop using it.
Okay. So you've spoken about landowners and how they can be involved in local nature recovery. You've already been involving them in the process of actually creating the local nature recovery strategy. How about people at home? How about us? Is there stuff that we can do to help, and have we been provided for in the local nature recovery strategy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely are, yeah. And one of the things that we are looking at quite carefully, although it's still very much under development, is the idea of membership of the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership, whether we could engage with the public through that for example, some of the major landowners may be encouraged to provide access to particular areas only to members of the partnership, or to give discounted rates if they charge for access, and, you know, for particular facilities and visitor centres and so on. You discount on your coffee when you go to the local Hertfordshire and Essex Wildlife Trust sites. You know, things like that are a live discussion at the minute to try and you know, encourage people to engage with nature and people to be supportive of the partnership and the strategy going forwards.
So just finally, you have got coming up the Hertfordshire Nature Summit. Can you just tell us what you hope will be decided there and what effect that might have on the local nature recovery strategy?
Well, it's the official launch of the strategy, and what we're hoping there is to be able to give people more of an update as to where we're at with the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership, what some of the projects that are coming out of that partnership might look like, where they might be, and what encouraging attendees to give us their thoughts about what how we might work best to deliver nature recovery across Hertfordshire, and trying to encourage collaboration and partnership working right across the piece, because I think that's a really positive way to actually deliver some of this stuff on the strategy. We're looking at the options around landscape level interventions that are not just for nature, but for a whole raft of other benefits as well. So public access, for flood mitigation, for water quality. There's a whole raft of options that with a single project, you can have multiple benefits from. And we're hoping that we may be able to, potentially at the Nature Summit, start discussions with major organisations about helping us through their corporate social responsibility mechanisms, helping us deliver some of that stuff in Hertfordshire.
So would you say that we've reached the bottom for Hertfordshire Nature? Is it all up from here?
Well, that's certainly my intention, and I will do everything I can to try and bolster nature in Hertfordshire. So, yeah, I certainly hope so, and I feel really quite optimistic about the recovery of nature in Hertfordshire in the future.
Brilliant. Well, let's hope you're right. Councillor Paul Zukowski, thank you very much indeed for joining me today.
Thanks very much, Amanda.
I was talking there to Councillor Paul Zukowski, Cabinet Member for Environment, Transport and Growth at Hertfordshire County Council and Chair of the Hertfordshire Nature Recovery Partnership. Now, as Councillor Zukowski said, the Herts and Middlesex Wildlife Trust has been a key partner in developing the Nature Recovery Strategy. They welcome the local Nature Recovery Strategy as an important tool to help us protect and recover biodiversity before it's too late. Do take a look at the strategy yourself. It's very readable, and there's a whole section of things that we can do ourselves, even if we're not landowners and even if we don't have a garden. I'll put a link in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. Always good to hear from you. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on Facebook and on X. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.